Well, thank you all for coming this morning. So the topic of mine is introducing new health education and promotion technologies in rural Honduran community health workers, specifically looking at opportunities to increase capacity and sustainability. So no financial relationships to disclose. Good morning. Learning objectives are to describe challenges and opportunities present in the introduction of new health technology specifically to lay community health workers in developing settings, and also to identify strategies for training of lay community health workers in the creation of localized health education materials. So this project actually came out of a grant that Hesperian Foundation, which I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with them, they have the books Where There's No Doctor and all sorts of other educational materials. They received a grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and one of the components of the grant was to create a digital platform where they would be able to upload all of their print materials into a format where they would be accessible. Similar to like a wiki website, if you guys are familiar with that. So then health workers would be able to go online and find all the information in one accessible location, and then there was also an adaptation tool that was created that allows community health workers to take that information and then create customized health education materials that are specific to the contextual needs of their communities. So this particular presentation, yeah.
Is that open to anyone?
Yeah, it's actually, I think, I'm not sure that it's been published quite yet. This presentation is focusing on the piloting and the attempt to implement that platform in rural southern Honduras. So we were actually the Spanish test site for the creation of the tool. So, you know, I think most of us here know how indispensable community health workers are, and specifically in reaching hard to reach populations. So the group of volunteers that we worked with were Honduran Ministry of Health, maternal and child health volunteers, and their program, ANICE, was an integral nutrition program, and it's been found by USAID and World Bank to be an especially cost-effective approach to improving maternal and child health, so much so that after doing their cost-effective evaluation, they actually went on to implement the program in numerous Central and South American countries as well as African countries. So all the volunteers are community elected, and it's the community health workers are community elected, and it's a voluntary position. They don't receive any sort of stipend, and even a lot of times they don't receive the travel costs that are necessary to turn in their monthly reports. So this is the general map of Honduras, and then looking at the municipality of Ordoquina that we were working in. So you can see on the map down below a larger version of the Ordoquina municipality, along with all the 7 different health centers that are located in that area, and then the corresponding number of community health workers for each health center. So in general, in total, there are 48 health volunteers working in the municipality of Ordoquina, and they represent 34 different communities. So It tends to vary between 1 to 2 volunteers for each community. There are about 17,000 residents in the municipality of Ordoquina, and it has one city center that has about 4,000 residents. So, just a little bit of background. Ordoquina is housed in the department of Choluteca, which is part of Honduras's dry corridor, which means that it has really extreme weather patterns, which can be difficult as the majority of the communities in that area are primarily agrarian subsistence farming communities. 70% of the rural population is at or below their federal poverty level, and 32% of families are experience malnourishment in southern Honduras. A recent study by an NGO, a local NGO in the area, showed that more than 60% of families reduce the amount of food that they eat at each meal to make sure that there's enough to eat. So it's a fairly impoverished area with health indicators that reflect that. So we actually worked with, out of the 48 community health workers working in the municipality of Ordoquino. We worked with 15 of them, and that was because there was a group of them that was organized through a local NGO called La Asociación de Mujeres Defensoras de la Vida. And so we decided to work with the NGO and the volunteers that they were already supporting. So that our sample was not a random sample. It composed 30% of the community health workers and 44% of the communities in Ordoquina. We did 12 one-day capacity building trainings over the course of 18 months. All of the community health workers also received unlimited free access to internet within the urban city center. And then we looked at feedback through focus groups, in-depth interviewing, photos, and video that was taken during the trainings. So capacity development trainings were created in a participatory fashion based on the needs of the community health workers. These are some of the major areas that we focused on. So basic computer usage, Microsoft Word, internet navigation, use of the digital platform and adaptation tool, health message creation, and then the practical application of the and creation of the materials. So just to give you a general idea of what our program looked like, this was the internet cafe that was constructed with six different computers, and then this was one of the trainings that we did. So the results, the average age of the volunteers was approximately 45 years of age, and we had about 7 males and 8 females. 87% or 13 of the 15 volunteers had no previous computer experience whatsoever. Average education level ranged between first grade to bachelor's, but the mode or the most general level of education that was completed was sixth grade. So the average distance to internet access was 1 hour and 15 minutes, and that could be by bus or by foot. We had one individual that walked up to 2.5 hours to come to the internet trainings that we held. And the average length of time that individuals had been serving as community health workers was 13 years. So they were pretty well vetted in their communities and had a long-standing relationship with their communities as volunteers. So our process outcomes, we created an internet cafe with six computers. This was primarily constructed for the community health worker use, but it also created income generation for the nonprofit that we worked with. 100% of the volunteers attended at least 3 of the trainings. 70% attended 8 or more of the trainings. And we actually had power outage occurring at 5 of the 12 trainings, which, if you think about it, that's a really large percentage. So of those 5 power outages, 1 was rescheduled, 2 were canceled. Those 2 had been rescheduled and had additional power outages, which led to them being canceled. And 2 were used for other health education purposes, and we used the Where There's No Doctor book and focused on, you know, how to practically apply some of the different principles and health themes that are in that book. So we tried to make use of the time that we had however we could. Our impact outcomes are that 100% of the volunteers are now able to use a computer, a mouse, keyboard. They're able to create documents in Word and open an internet search engine on their own. 60% or 9 of the community health workers are able to competently navigate the Hesperian Digital Health Commons independently. And 40% of the community health workers, or 6, are able to independently create health materials. And those individuals that aren't able to work independently were able to work with a partner to help to create the materials effectively. 100% of the volunteers who created health education materials reported using them in their communities. So each volunteer had monthly meetings where mothers would come to bring their children between 6 months and 5 years, and then there would be a short health discussion. And so after creating the health materials, 100% of those volunteers then used that information in their community for that monthly meeting. 7 independent visits were made to use computers by the community health workers over the course of the pilot test, which, remembering that it was 18 months, there were 7 visits. So 2 of those visits were to write proposals or solicitations for support for community projects. to or to write reports or correspondence to government officials at the community health centers. And then 3 visits were to use the program. Unfortunately, in all of those opportunities, electricity was out. So challenges. Obviously, we had a lack of previous computer experience in 13 of our 15 volunteers, and so really small things, I think, that we might not always think about, just using the mouse to highlight or drag and drop different items, took a lot of time away from focusing on the tools that we were working with the community health workers with. Also, just the general keys outside of the letters. Was something that, you know, they took time to memorize and remember. We actually created little placards that went next to the computer with the functions of each key so that people wouldn't have to keep asking. And the other thing that we did was we taped or glued down the mouse pad because it moved around a lot. So those were our little our little helpful tips. Can I go back? Oh, yeah, okay. So lack of infrastructure is probably actually one of our largest challenges. Transportation, most of the areas that our community health workers were working in, there was a daily bus, and so if they missed that bus, then they were going to be walking upwards of 2 to 3 hours, which didn't make it feasible for them to come down regularly to work with the computer technology. Electricity was a large problem in general because of climate and also just because of the infrastructure. The country doesn't have strong enough infrastructure to have regular sustainable internet or electricity access. And then internet access as well. It's a new program. I think in 2000 there were only 8 internet service providers. And so that's starting to go up. But as of 2009, only 13% of Hondurans used internet. So it's something that's definitely growing. Low attendance was affected by climate and flooding. Again, the southern area of Honduras is particularly vulnerable to flooding. And agrarian culture, which is difficult for community health workers to take days off of work out in the fields, whether it was sowing or harvesting their crops. Also, the unstable political climate affected long-term sustainability. About halfway through the pilot, we realized that it might be more effective to work within the community health centers themselves with the Honduran Ministry of Health, but unfortunately, because of political instability, the personnel was changing so regularly, and there just wasn't any sort of interest in long-term sustainability or improvement of their programming, and so volunteers really didn't receive very much attention. So although there were numerous challenges, I think there are a lot of opportunities that were present. And I think the largest opportunity that can be applied across different developing settings, working with health technology, is a strong interest in learning new technology regardless of age. So we had community health workers that were in their upper 60s and were just as motivated as those who were in their 30s. Age really wasn't a determining factor. They were willingness to travel and attend workshops when supported, when there was some sort of stipend provided to offset the cost of working in the fields. The volunteers were more than happy to come in. And then there is also interest in other forms of health technology, which I think was especially interesting. There's a lot of interest in mobile technology, so nearly everyone, regardless of whether or not they have regular electricity access, has a cell phone. I'd say probably 90% of individuals have cell phones, and so that was an area that everyone expressed interest in. So conclusions. Findings are specific to southern Honduras, although they may be applicable to other similar developed countries in regards to infrastructure and politics. Results show that community health workers working in southern Honduras are interested and motivated to learn and incorporate new health technologies into community health work. And also, numerous infrastructure and political obstacles remain for long-term implementation of computer health technology in this area. So I think the second learning objective was focused more on strategies, which for me, I think that was something that I took away most from from this pilot study, in that, well, unfortunately, things, my hopes when submitting this abstract for long-term sustainability were a little bit more optimistic than they currently are. I definitely learned a lot of strategies and opportunities for being able to apply health technology in developing settings that I think can be applicable to various settings. So I think, you know, a lot of us know assessing the knowledge and experience with both technology and its application before applying is extremely important. Also, building trust with community health workers, specifically in southern Honduras, the community health workers that we worked with were extremely humble, and so building that trust at the onset of testing was vital in that they felt comfortable providing constructive feedback and criticism, which isn't something that's culturally appropriate in the culture that I was working with. So to be able to build that trust and allow individuals to say if something wasn't working for them or if they thought there was a way to improve it was very important. Attempting to utilize familiar content when introducing the main focus, to maintain focus on the process rather than the content, we noticed that health promoters were so excited to learn materials that they would focus on learning the content that was on the website rather than learning how to navigate the website itself. And so I think that's probably very important when introducing any sort of health technology, that the content is already really well known so that the focus can remain on the technology itself. Support group learning to build upon early adapters. In this photo here, you can see one of the community health workers is actually teaching some of her colleagues how to create health literacy materials. And she was one of the two community health workers that had previous computer experience. And so building upon those early adapters, those individuals who already have experience, and especially in cultures where peer learning is used a lot, I think is really important and can be a great strategy. Also building upon current forms of health education and promotion. In this case, it was especially easy to introduce the digital platform because individuals were already familiar with where there's no doctor, and so it was just building upon printed materials that they had already received and been familiar with. Also investing time and resources and basic knowledge. I don't think I can stress this enough, especially in our case where 87% hadn't had experience with computer usage in the past. And so just building that really strong base and foundation was key. Also allowing for flexibility in timing and usage. We found with our community health workers that while they were really interested in the digital platform and the adaptation tool, they were also really interested in just using a computer for general usage, and they found other opportunities to use the computer for health education and promotion beyond the usage of the digital platform. And so, for example, we had two proposals submitted for improving community health that resulted from volunteers having learned how to use Word. We also had a couple of solicitations given to the mayor that came as a result of people being able to use the computer and being more savvy. So I think a lot of it was allowing for flexibility for the community health workers to decide how they wanted to use the technology and then supporting them in doing so. And ultimately identifying partners to provide long-term support. That's an area that we're still continuing to work on with the community health centers, but it's definitely important for long-term sustainability. So that's it. No.
So computers can be really exciting and have this huge potential for allowing you to change materials quickly and all that kind of stuff. But from what you've shown, I'm having a hard time seeing why computers, I mean, in this community, it almost seems like it's a worse resource than the written resource, because the power goes out, they can't transport it, they would need a printer if they wanted to keep stuff anyways. There seem to be so many downsides to the electronic technology in that community, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. Are they still better with the book at this point until the world catches up? for?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, I think I would shy away from saying not to introduce health technology because I think that infrastructure is increasing incredibly rapidly. And so I think planting the seeds are really helpful in that there won't be as much of a lapse when that infrastructure is in place. Then I think that that volunteers, community health workers may be more ready to jump in and utilize those resources once they're available. But at this point, the community health workers that we worked with definitely felt more comfortable and more likely to use printed materials just because they're more readily accessible. And so in an ideal world, what we would have loved to have done is work with the community health centers that had regular access to computer technology, and if the electricity were to go out one day, it wouldn't have made such an impact. Unfortunately, because of the political instability, that wasn't feasible. But I think in other areas where there might be a stronger relationship or more political stability within government agencies that have access to these resources, that might be a good route to go in working with more established organizations.
My question was somewhat along the same lines, but now I'm thinking, did the community health workers that you worked with, they did work in community health centers.
They did
have computers.
Right.
When they were electricity work. Did they take what they learned? Did you do some follow-up to see how they took back what they learned to that community health center?
So there's only one of the seven community health centers has a computer right now.
Okay. That really wasn't and, the case then.
Okay. Right. So they just received a computer about 6 or 7 months ago. And so that would be the next step, would be to train the health staff, but unfortunately the health staff that are working in those community health centers don't have interest in supporting the volunteers.
So they really didn't have a place to go to take what they learned to where they were working.
Right, correct.
Well, then my second question was, given the challenges around the actual technology part, did they have, did you see some outcomes in the value of them coming together, period? You know,
absolutely.
Did they have time to like talk with each other about what they were doing, never mind computers?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that any opportunity for them to be able to come together and discuss prevalent health issues or what's going on in their communities on a daily basis is incredibly helpful. In this case, in those five circumstances where there were power outages, you know, we utilized the time to focus on other health issues and actually worked with the Where There's No Doctor book and the printed materials instead of the health technology. And so, they also thought it was incredibly helpful. And I think just focusing on actual health message creation was really important too. That was a skill set that could have been improved upon.
Is there any consideration for working with tablets such as
Yeah, I think that there hasn't been any sort of, as far as I've seen, there hasn't been any sort of presence of iPads or touchpads. And as far as security, I think it might be a little bit of a difficulty in the area that we were working in. However, I do think that there's a lot of opportunity for mobile technology and that a lot of people have cell phones and a good majority of them have Blackberries or are interested in iPhone. You know, if iPhone technology were available at a reasonable price, I think that would be something that people would be interested in. And so I think in this case, it would be a much better option.
Well, they could use the cell phone as a modem.
Right.
And hook up on a laptop, which would probably be the most efficient
use of all of them. Right.
Wondering how many folks have the electricity at home, and if they didn't, would they be a place where they could charge their current devices?
Absolutely.
Stations or something like that?
Right. What most people do is they have solar panels on their roofs, and so that charges a car battery, and then they plug in their phones to the battery to charge them up. Or if they need to come into town to run errands, they bring their cell phones in and then plug them in at a friend's house and recharge them. So I'd say they probably have access to recharging on a weekly basis. So it works fairly efficiently. Any other? Yeah, I'm finishing my time there, but it's definitely something that they hope to continue. And so this project was specifically focused on piloting, but also with an interest in implementing the project and creating sustainability. And so right now the next steps are to stay in contact, and once this digital platform comes out in its finalized version, then we'll be working with them to determine how that could be implemented and whether it's appropriate or not. And also looking at mobile technology, too. Thanks.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you so much for bringing this perspective. You know, sometimes you don't know what you got until you realize others don't have it. My question has to do with your flexibility. I remember when we were originally organizing serious refugees in our state, the one thing that people asked the most for was that camaraderie, that sort of networking opportunity, the chance to share challenges and struggles and successes and resources with each other. Did you have any, I noticed you mentioned that people were more interested in the content than in the actual tool.
Right.
Did you have flexibility in your program to support that kind of capacity building, or were you just solely focused on the computer?
No, I actually had been working down there as a general internal capacity development specialist. I worked with all of the different programs, and so while we tried to maintain some sort of structure to provide feedback to the organization that we were working with, it was incredibly flexible and depended on the needs of the community health workers that we were working with. And so, for example, there was a new outbreak of leptospirosis, which comes from rat urine. And so we used one of our sessions creating health education materials around that health disorder. And that was brought up by the community health workers the morning of the training. And so we said, okay, well, that's what everyone's interested in, and so let's create materials that are focused on that. So we used the opportunity to talk about health messaging and what are the different components of creating a health message focusing on prevention, diagnosis, and treatment, and then around that specific disorder. And then they also talked about how to implement those materials in their community and talked about what the needs were and how to meet those needs. And so, I think that flexibility is definitely key. Thank you. Did that answer your...
Yeah, no, I'm happy for you that you had that opportunity. And sometimes when programs are so restricted, there's a lot of ethical conflict within oneself to allow that to develop.
Yeah. I was lucky.